Well, good morning. Welcome to everyone. So glad to see all of you here this morning on this very special Palm Sunday. What a beautiful morning to come. A little chilly out, but I know good weather's on its way. Spring is here, and we look forward to those good days to come. Okay, I just want to make a couple announcements. Can you hear me now? Seems like my battery's dead. And I don't have any spares. Hey, Titus, can you bring me some batteries, though?
What size?
At double A. If you have your bulletins, I believe you can hear me. I want you to look inside there. Just a couple things I want you to take note of. First of all, this Sunday will be the last Lenten service for our Lenten series. And it will be at the Sinersville Church. Of the brethren, and so I hope that you can make it out. Sean Cook will be sharing the message this evening, and so we look forward to that. Sean is the new pastor up at Parnassus Methodist Church, and so we look forward to hearing him and for him coming and blessing us with the message. We've had some good services there, and so we're looking forward again for another opportunity to fellowship with our brothers and sisters and the fellowship of churches. We've been having a hymn sing, which is nice. So if you like the hymn sing, come out. And you can pick your favorite hymn, and we've just been singing. And Barbara Gardner has been leading us in with the piano, and we've really had a good time. So I hope that you come out. Also, there's a little bit of fellowship time after that as well. So take advantage of that opportunity of worship. Also, just a reminder as well, we will have our sunrise service next Sunday, Easter Sunday. It will be at the North River, or at the Natural Chimneys Park, for our sunrise service. Gary Monroe will be speaking. And if you've not been to the sunrise service before at Natural Chimneys, you just come in the main gate and go all the way to the back on the paved road. It's back there, and we'll be actually positioned right there in front of the chimneys itself, right in that big grassy area. We always have a really good turnout for that. We're hoping again for a good turnout and maybe some warmer weather rather than a real cold morning. So I hope that you can take advantage of that. Also, following today's service, we are having our love feast. I was told that maybe the deacons need about 10 minutes or so to get everything prepared and ready. So maybe just hang out here in the sanctuary or do some fellowshipping. But after that, then we'll move into the fellowship hall and have our love feast service. So we look forward to that. Also, just a reminder that the youth group is going to be having their Easter breakfast next Sunday. There'll be no Sunday school next Sunday, and there'll be no children's church next Sunday. So those two things you need to take note of. But the children and the youth will be working to host an Easter breakfast. I hope that you come and participate in that. They will be taking donations to help out with the youth activities. And so if you want to bring a donation for that, that's much appreciated. But just come and fellowship in that time before service, and it should be just a good time of relaxing, celebrating the resurrection as we get ready for our service. Also, choir practice next Sunday will be before the worship. If you could come early, those that are in the choir, to participate in that. We're looking forward to having our choir singing next Sunday. They've been working really hard, and we appreciate Janet's work on that, so we look forward to that as well. Also, I just noticed that Nancy has put some more disaster ministry auction booklets out in the narthex. If you hadn't got a booklet yet about the disaster ministries and all that they are working on, of course, that's going to be coming up at the Rockingham County Fairgrounds May 20th and the 21st. And so there's work already happening for that, but the booklet will give you all the information, the times, and dates of all those things. So if you would pick one of those up, take it with you, and then think about how you could support this year's disaster ministry. Okay, are there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Anything else, Janet?
I'd like to say a special welcome to everyone. I think we have some visitors.
Yep.
Yes.
We do appreciate Gerald. He's waking us up, isn't he? He has this thing rocking back here. So, Gerald, you're doing a great job. We just appreciate him being here and for sharing that his music with us this morning. Any other announcements you'd like to share at this time? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for this Palm Sunday, Lord, in which you rode into Jerusalem upon a donkey, Lord, and the crowds gathered, they rejoiced, they celebrated for your Son, Jesus. Lord, we gather here this morning as well, and we are celebrating in the same way. We are celebrating our King. Lord, we are celebrating our Savior. Lord, we are celebrating your Son, Jesus. And we give him thanks and praise here this morning. Our hearts rejoice. Lord, we're not forming a parade, but yet our hearts are still celebrating here this morning the goodness of your Son, Jesus. We come worshiping him here together, and we come praising his name. In the name of Jesus, do we shout, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Beautiful, Janet. Thank you so much. Let us stand this morning for our call to worship. You'll find this in the inside of your bulletins. This coming from portions of Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Hosanna, the king is coming. He is just and having salvation. He is lowly and riding on a donkey. Hosanna, the King of Israel is here. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's turn our hymnals, page 1. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Page 1.
Oh,
may be seated. Well, I'm going to take just a couple minutes here in our service to gather up our praises and our prayer requests. I have several that I would like you to put on your prayer list, if you would. First of all, would you continue, if you've already, but be praying for Donald Michael. Many of you know that just this past week, Donald had an accident on the farm. He was working some cattle when one of the cows got ornery and hit him in the chest and broke several of his ribs. I think there's three of his ribs, Francis told me, that are completely broken half, and then some of the others are fractured. I think there's seven in total ribs that are hurt for Donald. And so they took him to AMC, and then from AMC they moved him to UVA because they felt like with as much damage as he had on one side, and they weren't real sure at the time if his lung was collapsing. So they're keeping a close eye on Donald. I got to talk to Donald just a little bit on the phone this past week, and he said he thought the back surgery was a lot of pain, but that back surgery was nothing in comparison to all these broken ribs. So he is really sore. And I think they are giving him some medication, of course, to help with the pain, but that's going to take a while to heal, and that many ribs broke. Also, Francis told me that three of his ribs, of course, they're completely separated, and they're not exactly sure yet if they may have to do surgery to put the ribs back so that it doesn't puncture his lung or something like that. If it's not looking like it's in line or healing correctly, he may end up having to have surgery. So I'm not exactly sure when Donald is going to get home. Francis was traveling there this morning to UVA to be with Donald. So if you would, just lift up Donald Michael in your prayers. As I said, you know, he had back surgery just a few months ago. I know that was a worry when I heard that he had this accident, that was going to do something to the recent back surgery. And, you know, he was just starting to make some good progress. We've seen him walking around the church here. He was starting to, you know, get upright a little more and look as if his back wasn't hurting so bad. So we really hate this for Donald. But we're praying for his quick recovery, praying for Francis too. You might want to just put Francis on your prayer list as well. Francis is having some trouble with her hip. And just getting around walking is so difficult for her. I ran into her at the post office, and just her trying to walk, you could tell she is in a lot of pain. So if you would, please keep Francis and Donald in your prayers for this coming week. Also, I got word yesterday, Randy's brother Carlton, we had him on our prayer list. They were suspected bleed on the brain. But that he was doing better. We were praising the Lord, but then he had a scan at Martha Jefferson this past week, and they seen that bleed was still happening, and so they did do surgery on Carlton. Randy, was that on Friday last week? So they did that surgery. That was a success. They're draining off that blood from his head, his brain. And Randy shared with me this morning that he will be having surgery this week on Monday. Is that right, Randy? So they'll be doing surgery again, hoping to go in and stop that bleed. And so if you would, just lift up Carlton, especially on Monday, as he goes in for prayer or goes in for surgery, we need to be praying for him. That's a very serious surgery. Anytime they're doing something to your brain, especially stopping the bleeding like that. We just need to lift him up in prayers on Monday. Just be praying that surgery goes well. So also, if you would, continue to pray for Bruce Shirky. Bruce is doing better. I got word last week that Bruce is walking a little better, and he's up moving around some. And so that's a good sign. Bruce had a fall 2 weeks ago off a roof where a ladder slipped out from underneath of him and fell about 10 foot. So if you would, keep Bruce Shirky in your prayers. He texted me this morning to say thank you to all those who sent cards, all those who were praying for him, that he really felt the prayers and he appreciated all the cards. And so we rejoice in that he is doing better, and we just pray that he's back on his feet and get back to himself soon. Also, just a praise. Boy, did we have a big day here yesterday. What a day we had. All the kids know what I'm talking about. We had our Easter egg hunt, and man, did we have a church full of kids, and we just had a great time. And of course, they went out and picked up all those eggs. Deborah counted some of them, I think, to kind of sort them. She counted every one. I don't know how she had time to do all that. But there was over 2,000 eggs that were out there. And the kids, we had probably 40-plus kids here that were searching for the eggs. And we just had a really good time. It was just a nice event, a community event. We had a lot of new visitors here. And what a way for us to just connect with those in our community. So we're just pleased about that. And the kids are pleased about it, too, because they walked away with a lot of candy. And that's a good thing as well. So I just want to thank Robin Cook and her team, Deborah, Kim, and Katie, all those that helped out with the getting those things in order, getting that work done. You know, I also want to thank the kids, because the kids did a lot of work in preparing. You know, years past, the adults were the ones trying to stuff those eggs with all that candy. This year we changed it up a little bit. We got the kids to help us, the youth. And they all work to have all those little hands in there. It's like our own little sweatshop. We might get in trouble, mightn't we, if we... bad as China. It was great. It was great to have all those kids in there doing that. And you know what? They enjoyed it. And that took a lot off of the adults and not having to worry about that. And it made quick work of it, and they had a good time doing it. And so I appreciate all the children's help as well. And they really made a difference this year. So we're blessed, aren't we, here to have all those kids. Yes?
I'd like to thank everyone who donated candy
right.
And supported us in that way.
Yep. It really was. The church stepped up. You know, weeks prior, there was a lot of donations made, candy and even monetary donations, because we had snacks for the kids when they come in. We had bottled water for them. And you ought to have seen them. When they come in, they had their buckets and they were working. If you want to see pictures of it, I guess Alan, is Alan here? Alan, do you have pictures up yet? Maybe not.
They're not on yet.
Okay. Yeah, he'll work at that and get some of those pictures up on our website. So if you want to see some of the activities, and Alan might embarrass me because one of the things I did before the event happened, I had to take some trash to the dump. And as always, I seemed to score over there. And I came away with a nativity set, about a 3-foot nativity set that you set up in the yard. And so I had this on the back of my truck, and I came in here, and so Alan said I was representing all the holidays. I had Christmas on the back of the truck, Easter out in the yard. I was only missing Thanksgiving. So we had a good time, though, and it was a lot of fun. It's fun to get together. It's fun to fellowship. And so that was a great thing, a great event. Just good to get together again. You know, some of these things we weren't able to do because of COVID. We had stopped some of these things. It was just such a pity, but we were glad to get these things going again. You can see our church moving again. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See our church moving again. See things happening here. And it's great to have that. You know, I'm thinking as well about the love feast after service today. That's been, what, 2 years? Am I right on that, Janet? Where is Janet? 2 years maybe since we've been able to have love feast because of COVID. So praise the Lord, we're able to do that. I think we all feel safe. It's just great to see those things coming back to life in the church. And I look forward to the love feast service and that time of fellowship as well. Okay, are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share?
Russia, Ukraine.
We want to continue to pray for Ukraine, don't we? I don't know how many weeks we're into this now, but it's over a month, I believe. And we continue to see just the pictures of horror coming out of Ukraine. Our heart goes out for all the children and all the people that have been displaced by that. So thank you again for just, again, reminding us that we need to be in prayer for Ukraine and continue to pray for peace, don't we? Pray for God's peace in these situations. So thank you again for saying that. Other prayer requests, Megan?
I have a praise. We had our North River Beautification Day and cleanup yesterday, and we just had a tremendous turnout. It was just overwhelming in a good way. Mm-hmm. Like, you just feel like, you know, you don't didn't deserve all this and everything. But we had a wonderful day. We got a lot done. We have lots of people here that helped out. They donated flowers, that donated their time, equipment. Travis and Susan, with all their equipment, we had donations. Thank you for all the monetary donations. And it was a great day. Darren helped. He had some pastors come from the area. It was wonderful.
See that sore right there?
And he got a cut. He did work.
Do y'all see that? That hurts. I've got blood in the game on this one. And it was a good day, wasn't it?
Yes.
Megan, she's sharing there. Seeing the community come together and to support the local school. And boy, did we make some improvements to just the beauty, the welcomeness to the school there as you come in. We've made some really good improvements. Travis, Susan, Joe, Megan, for all their work. They did a fundraiser too. Had a thing called Tricky Tray. I didn't know what that was. I wasn't sure how to take that at first. This tray might trick me, but it was basically an auction that they did to raise money. People donated all kinds of baskets and things. And I know there was a lot of money raised. The community came together to support it. And so it really turned out nice. I told Ms. Cox, the principal there, I said, aren't we so blessed to live in a community that is so caring, so compassionate, so loving towards one another? I know we don't always do that, but when you see something like that happen, you get that overwhelming feeling that we are truly blessed in our North River community here, that we have people in our community that care just about our schools, about our churches, and that step up to make sure that those things are cared for and looked after. You know, you want the kids to come in and be proud of their school, to be excited to be there. And so this beautification that happened, it really did make some improvements. You know, you can just take a little ride by the school when you leave here. You know, just drive around the parking lot and you can see all the work that happened. There was a flower bed that was put in that wasn't there, and just a lot of work. And there were so many hands that came together to make that happen. And we just praise the Lord for all those that came and participated in that and got sores.
Splinters.
So, and splinters. Hey, I did pick out a splinter this morning, too. So a splinter and a sore. But it was well worth it, though, wasn't it? I should have worn my gloves a little better, maybe. That's what my problem was.
I have a praise, too. Natalie, the little girl that we've been praying for from Stanton, they have been given her chemo treatments, and they thought we was going to have to open her up to take out some of the tumors.
Yeah.
And the tumors have shrunk.
Well, praise the Lord.
And they're going to be able to take it out laparoscopically.
Okay.
And they're just praising the Lord for all the prayers for that this is. Helped, you know, to shrink these tumors, that the chemo drugs is working. They've got a long way to go yet. One of the drugs she's on right now, which she will take again, can possibly cause her to go completely deaf.
Okay.
And her mama was very upset about that, and she said she was also praising the Lord that it was working. And she said to lose your hearing instead of your life was a small thing to give if it kept her little girl alive.
Yeah, appreciate that with Natalie. If you would continue to pray for the little girl from Stanton that we've lifted up in prayers, and we'll just be Natalie Nicole, and we're just going to be praying that she will not lose her hearing. We just pray that this medicine will work, but that she will not have that effect is our prayers for Natalie. And we praise the Lord for the good work that these tumors are shrinking, and we just want to continue to lift her up in our prayers. So thanks for that update and report on her. Other prayer requests or praises? Joanne?
Aaron, I just want to say that when we sing that song, Oh, How I Love Jesus, we need to take the love out and spread it more.
Amen, Joanne. Amen, Joanne. Oh, how we love Jesus. It's like a cup overflowing, isn't it? Joanne's just sharing how she just felt the Holy Spirit telling her we need to spread that love about. I agree. Yep.
Just walk up. If you see a stranger,
yeah,
walk past.
Yeah.
Right.
There's very simple ways. Joanne's sharing, I know maybe can't all hear, but what Joanne is sharing, there are simple ways in which we can share the love of Jesus. And Joanne shares just maybe a good morning or Jesus loves you. Simple things we can do to share Christ's love. So thank you, Joanne, for reminding us of that. And we do love Jesus, don't we? And we want others to hear about that love. So thank you. Anyone else? Okay, Jennifer. We're all a little crazy sometimes, Jennifer.
I'd like to ask for prayer for a little girl named Haley.
Okay. Haley.
The little girl is adopted, but okay. She was born addicted to something.
Drugs, yeah.
And the little girl is now 8 years old, and keeps running away from home.
Okay. Right.
Find something that will work to keep the little girl home.
Right.
The little girl actually ended up at my house.
Okay. If you would, just lift up Haley in your prayers. She's 8 years old, and she's struggling, and she's already sounds like she's been through a whole lot in her life.
They actually have a tracking device on her ankle.
Is that right?
And when she was at my house, she cut it off.
Oh.
So now they have to have another one on her clothing.
Isn't that something? Right.
And yep. The doctors are saying it's behavioral issues more than mental issues.
Right, right.
After speaking with her at my house, I kind of think otherwise.
Yeah. If you would, Jennifer's just sharing about a little girl that ended up at her house. And sometimes the Lord puts people in our life so that we could be praying for them. And it sounds like Haley is one that we need to be praying for. So if you would, just lift Haley up in prayer. She's 8 years old. And she needs our prayers and our love. And her mom as well, Jennifer says. Thank you, Jennifer. Anyone else? With that, I'm going to call now on our ushers to come forward and to collect our tithe. Did I miss one?
Yes.
Who did I miss?
I was supposed to say Roger.
Okay.
My neighbor.
Okay. Remind us of Roger's last name.
Morin,
M-O-R-I-N. Yes, M-O-R-I-N. Right. Thank you, LaBriska. Call now on our ushers to come forward and collect our tithes and our offerings. Thank you. Let's stand together in prayer. Gerald, is the words to that soon and very soon? Is the words to that soon and very soon? I'm going to see the Lord, right?
See the King.
See the King. That's right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again for the blessings of our answered prayers, the blessing, Lord, that we know as we offer up our prayer to you, Lord, that you are listening. You do hear us, Lord. We know that you hear us. We see the effects of our prayers in those answered prayers. We see the, Lord, the effects of our prayers, Lord, and those hearts and those people's lives, Lord, where your healing is taking place and where your comfort is provided and given. Lord, we know and we are assured, Lord, that you are attentive to our every need. And Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers here this morning. Lord, as we offer up these names, Lord, too many to list right now, but Lord, you've heard each one as we've shared our heart. And Lord, we cry out to you that you would continue to provide healing and comfort and peace, Lord. Lord, that you would work in the midst of complex situations, Lord, and diagnosis, Lord, that seem too big for us to understand, or Lord, that we are not sure how they might, what the outcome might be. But Lord, we trust in you. We have faith in you. Lord, we know that you are good. We know that you are loving. And Lord, that as we seek you and we turn our hearts to you, Lord, we know that you will hear our prayer and answer our prayer. And Lord, that your will might be done. Lord, as we think about Jesus riding in into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, Lord, it was your will that was being done. It was a difficult thing. It was a hard path, Lord, that you had chosen for your son Jesus. But Lord, it was a path that ultimately you bless, Lord, and that we receive the greatest blessing from. Lord, our path today might not be an easy one. Lord, we are personally might be going through struggles. Lord, we might be going through difficulties where we question, Lord, why? Why are we enduring such heartaches and, Lord, sickness and other sorts of things, Lord, that we might be dealing with? But Father, we know that as we are in your will, that you seek our good, that your end result is always blessed. And Father, we just thank you here this morning that we can always trust in you. No matter if things are difficult for us in our life, Lord, we can trust in you and know that you are good. Lord, we praise you here this morning for your goodness. We praise you for your love. We praise you for your salvation. We rejoice with Hosanna, Lord, within our heart for your son Jesus. Lord, we offer up our offering this morning with Hosanna as well within our heart, Lord, as we offer up our tithes and our offerings to you. Lord, we seek to bless you and your son with these things. Lord, we seek that you might continue to guide and lead our church. And Lord, as Joanne reminds us, that we might share the love of Jesus with all who are around us. Lord, that we might search out those that are in need of the love of Christ. And Lord, that we might share that blessed message with them that we have received. Father, we praise you here this morning. And it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. I want to thank the ushers, and then I want to go ahead and release the children's church to go down now. I want you in your Bible to turn with me to John chapter 12. We're going to be looking at the triumphal entry today of Jesus. John chapter 12, verses 9 through 19. Just kind of looking here at the triumphal entry, as today is Palm Sunday. And we want to again just look at what was going on Palm Sunday in the life of Jesus. Okay, John chapter 12, verses 9 through 19. Now, a great many of the Jews knew that he was there and came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on the account of him many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. And the next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things were written about him, and that they had done these things to him. And therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." I want you to hear that last verse again. Just the last section of that. "You see that you are accomplishing nothing, but look, the world has gone after him." Isn't that our prayer, really? This thing that the Pharisees hated most, they didn't want to see the world going after Jesus, did they? That's a statement of resentment. That's a statement of anger. That's a statement of disappointment in their minds. They're discouraged that they're seeing the throngs of people celebrating Jesus. They don't want the world to go after Jesus. They want the world to abandon Jesus, to hate Jesus, to reject Jesus is their desire. But boy, don't we wish the world would do as these Pharisees said, go after Jesus. Oh, that the people, the world, the whole world might go after Jesus. What a profound statement, an amazing statement. Maybe it's a prayer. These Pharisees, what they hated, what they desired least, is the very thing that we desire the most, isn't it? Because we see the good of it. You think of all the problems that exist in the world today, they could be solved by that one little statement, couldn't they? If the world would just go after Jesus. We look around the world today, we see all the things that sin is doing today. All the disappointment that we look and we think, oh my, if the world would just go after him, that these things could be solved so quickly. We see innocent children caught up in gangs and drugs. See shootings and violence. Unimaginable evils taking place in our world around us. See a world that seeks rights to abort babies up into the third trimester. See men acting as though they are women, and women acting as though they are men. In a world of ignorance of God's law, of his eternal promises, a world of uncertainty we see today, of man's purpose and his future. A place where we see people calling darkness light and light darkness, as the Bible said would happen. A world where Satan has sowed confusion. Confusion's in the mind of the people. That they can no longer distinguish what is right and what is wrong, what is moral, what is immoral. There was a question just 2 weeks ago. Seems so simple for most people, and especially for someone in her position. Supreme Court judge was asked, "What is a woman?" Now that seems pretty plain and forward, doesn't it? What is a woman? And her answer was, well, I'm not a biologist. I'm not a biologist. A world of confusion. Where the simplest things are no longer understood. The Bible tells us that 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, that it's a world of fornicators, a world of idolaters and adultery and homosexuals and sodomites and thieves and people who are covetous and drunkards and revilers and extortioners. None of which, the Bible says, will inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, don't be mistaken. The Lord doesn't open the doors of the kingdom of God to those sorts of sinful, evil things. God's holy, isn't He? God is moral. God is light. And in Him, the Bible says, there is no darkness. He is righteous. And in Him, there is no guile. None of which will inherit the kingdom of God. And then it goes on to say, and such were some of you. There was a place before Christ where we lived in that sinful type of life, wasn't it? The statement is, were some of you. We could find ourselves in that list. But the desire is that when we follow Christ, when the world is seeking Christ, that He's called us out from that place, right? Amen? That we're seeking a life not of sinful pleasures, but of the righteousness of God. To live a life that is pleasing unto Him. To turn away from the sinful things of God. That's what the church needs to preach. It needs to continue to preach it. Righteousness and righteous living. Being transformed into the image of Christ. We need to seek to be as He was, or He is. The cure to the sinful sickness of this world, as the Pharisees put it, is a world that is seeking or following after Jesus. Boy, that should be our prayer today. That the world might seek after Him. That the whole world might go after Jesus. He would cure our world from its darkness and from its troubles. He would cure our world from the sinful things that we see happening today, the sinful failures taking place in our world around us. The thing that the Pharisees feared most, the thing that the Pharisees desired the least, is the very thing that we desire the most in the church today. Let it be our prayer, friends, that the whole world might seek after Jesus, that they might go after Him. Okay, I want to talk to you a little bit about the triumphal entry of Jesus. And I want to just take and give you a few observations that I gather here. I don't really have necessarily one theme that I'm sharing with you this morning, but just some observations that we see within the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So my first observation that I see here really is that the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem was both deliberately and carefully planned. Look there at verse 12. The next day a great multitude that had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. There was some announcement that Jesus was going to come. Now if you read in the other Gospels, you will see that there was planning, there was deliberate preparation for Jesus to come in to Jerusalem. Remember, He sent the disciples forth into the city and loosed the donkey, and then if they were the donkey and the colt, and if they were asked about it, that He was to say that the Lord was in need of them. And this morning we talked about the upper room was something that was prepared. Jesus went ahead and made arrangements that the upper room would be ready for Jesus and the disciples for the Passover meal. Plans were made for this event. It wasn't just by circumstance. It wasn't just coincidental. It wasn't just that this Jesus happened to be visiting Jerusalem on this day. Listen, this thing was planned out far in advance. And not just by Jesus, but by God Himself. As you read, even in your call to worship this morning, Zechariah 9, this is hundreds of years before, and does it not sound like we're reading the description of Jesus coming into Jerusalem? Rejoice! Rejoice, O daughter of Zion! Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem! Behold, thy king is coming to you! He is just and having salvation. He is lowly and riding on a donkey. Hundreds of years. 800 years possibly in advance here, where God has laid out exactly the plans for this particular day. And Jesus is fulfilling all these things as he rides in to Jerusalem. It's not by chance, friends. It's by God's providence. God's divine providence, that these things were to happen in a certain way. In a certain way they were to take place. Long before God told us this is exactly how it would happen. Jesus' triumphant entry here is a divine act. It's a divine act of God. God had ordained it. God had told it. God had described the very details of this day. God had predetermined it. He had predestined it. He had preordained it. Everything about this day was carefully planned. Verse 14, look there, tells us that Jesus had carefully orchestrated his entry by even arranging a donkey and a foal to carry him in. Do you know that we can actually calculate? I think this is the way my mind works, I think this is kind of fascinating, but do you know you can actually calculate the very day that Jesus rode in to Jerusalem? That's how ordained this day is. But you can calculate it. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus started his ministry in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. Listen, some of these things are just historical events. We know exactly when King Tiberius was king. And we know the dates that he served, A.D. 14 to A.D. 37. In the 15th year, we know that Jesus started his ministry. We know that that Jesus' ministry lasted roughly 3 years. And if you count forward 3 years on the calendar from the Passover, when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, you can get the exact date on our historical calendar as April the 6th, 32 AD. Isn't that amazing? April the 6th, 32 AD. That lines up 3 years from the 15th year of King Tiberius. You count forward 3 Passovers on the Jewish calendar, and you will come to the exact date, April 6th, 32 AD. Listen, God knew that date long before any of us ever would. Maybe you're just hearing it today, but listen, God knew it. He preordained it. He predestined it that on April 6, 32 AD, Jesus would enter in to Jerusalem to shouts of Hosanna. Now, my second observation is that really in Christ coming to Jerusalem, that it wasn't us seeking deliverance, was it? But it was God seeking deliverance for us. You know, for thousands of years, you think about it, really man has sought God. You think that's kind of the definition of religion, isn't it? What is religion? Religion is man's attempt to reach God, isn't it? And you can kind of define that, I'm not just talking general word religion. That could cover lots of different sects of religion. But in that, it's really man's attempt to reach God. Think about different religions that they're working, they're doing things, they're trying to reach God. This is what I love about Christianity, that it's so different. Because Christianity is not necessarily this religion of man trying to reach God, but it is God coming down to reach us. Think about that. Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. He was coming and seeking our deliverance. It wasn't us seeking Him. The Bible says that we first love Him because what? Or He He first loved us, right? We love Him because He first loved us. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem and He is seeking salvation for us. He's coming to prove His love for us. It's not the other way around. It's not this old plain hard religion of us trying to prove our worthiness and our goodness to God. No. Christianity is different. It's God proving His love to us. What other faith has that? Only Christianity, right? Only Christianity do we see God seeking out our deliverance on our behalf. God sought you, friends. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, it was because He was seeking you. He had your name on His lips. He was coming to redeem you. It wasn't you seeking Him. It was Him seeking you. The third observation is that Jesus did not promote Himself here as a king, but rather as a Savior. Not as a feared king, but a Savior to be cherished. And we see that by Jesus seating Himself on a donkey. You know, that would be a rather funny looking thing, wouldn't it? You know, a donkey is a rather funny looking animal, isn't it? It's not like a big white stallion. I think if Jesus would have rode in on this brilliant stallion, or this big white steed, boy, that'd be just totally different approach to how we would see Jesus, right? The Bible says that He come humbly, right? He didn't come on some big, great white steed. He came lowly, riding on this donkey. You know, rather short animal with big floppy ears. Have you ever heard a donkey when it cries out? You know, a horse can't vocalize, but a donkey can. And not only that, but a donkey can vocalize both on the inhale and the exhale. Think of that. I would go ahead and demonstrate that for you, but I'd make a donkey of myself. But listen, somebody around this area owns a donkey. It might be Dean over here. I'm not sure. Dean Bonkin. But occasionally I'll come out and hear a donkey crying out. And it reminds me, when I hear that donkey, I'll think of the donkey that Jesus was riding on. One of my favorite poems, I've shared it with you before, is about the donkey. And I wish I knew that poem by heart. You'll have to search it out. But it is a beautiful poem about how this funny-looking animal, floppy-eared donkey, was chosen for one of the greatest moments in the ministry of Jesus. What a prestigious place this little donkey had in the ministry of Christ. And here he came, riding in lowly upon a donkey. He didn't promote Himself as this king to be feared, but rather as a Savior to be cherished. Now, my fourth observation is that people, including His own disciples, did not fully understand what He was doing, did they? Look there at verse 16. His disciples said they did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things were written about Him and that they had done these things to Him. You know, not even the disciples really understood exactly why these things were being done. They were somewhat mystified, somewhat unsure of why Jesus was doing what He was doing. I think there was a little bit of mistaken identity. They really thought that Jesus was going to establish Himself as the king there of Israel, the earthly king. And, of course, Jesus had a better plan, didn't He? His plan wasn't just to take the throne of Jerusalem, the throne of Israel, but His goal was to take the throne of our heart, wasn't He? That's what He was going to do. He was going to win the victory of all man. Now, what if Jesus would have just come in and if His intentions were just to take over the Israel and to push back at the Romans? That's what they wanted, didn't they? They were under the persecution Israel was of the Romans, and they wanted Jesus to come in and liberate them. They wanted a liberator. They wanted a king. And if Jesus would have taken that route, well, they would have had temporary relief, wouldn't they? But would it have lasted? It wouldn't have, would it? The kingdom would have been like David's. It would have lasted for a while, and then once David died, the kingdom fell into other hands, often hands that weren't so faithful as David. The Bible tells us that the kingdom of Christ was going to be established forever and forever and forever. And he wasn't going to do that by ascending to a throne chair there within Jerusalem. It was going to be ascending to a cross and dying there for the sins of all mankind. Jesus didn't give us temporary victory, did he, friends? He gave us eternal victory. Victory over what? Over sin? Over death? And who else? Who's the great enemy of us? The devil. He gave us victory over all those things. Praise God, he didn't just ascend to a throne there in Jerusalem, but he ascended to a cross and is our eternal king. Fifth observation is Jesus did not rebuke his people for making a celebration out of his arrival. What a wonderful thing that we see there, this celebration. What a great thing that they were doing. And they got palm branches as a way of showing their appreciation. Of course, it was symbolic there of a king coming into Jerusalem. They laid down their garments upon the ground, kind of making like a paved road almost of their garments or cloaks. Laying these things down, they made quite a show. And Jesus didn't rebuke them, did he? You know, at times Jesus would rebuke them. You know, don't make a fuss. It's not my time, is what he would say. It's not my time. You know, don't tell them. It's not my time. Stay silent on these things. But here, it is his time, isn't it? Finally, this appointed day, it is time. And Jesus is so happy to see them calling out. You know, at one place in the scriptures it says, Jesus said, if they didn't cry out, the very rocks would cry forth. I don't believe for one minute that Jesus is being sarcastic in that at all. I think that actually, if they did not praise, literally the rocks would cry out. I believe it. He could do it. Listen, if he could set our sun in our solar system, he could certainly make a rock cry forth, couldn't he? Jesus was celebrated by the people. They celebrated him, and he received it as a king. He was certainly worthy of the celebration, wasn't he? He's worthy of the celebration then, and he is worthy of our celebration today, isn't he? He is so worthy of our celebration. Do you have good things in your life that God is doing? Celebrate him. Do you have prayers that Jesus is answering in your life? Celebrate him. And don't just depend on one day to do it. Do it all year long. Do it all your life. Celebrate and continue to celebrate the goodness of Jesus. Last two observations. Sixth observation. Those who were looking for Jesus found him. Verse 17, verse 18. Notice there. The people met out because they had heard that he had done these signs. They were coming to see him. They were looking for him and they found him, didn't they? Listen, if you're looking for Jesus today, you'll find him. He's not going to hide himself from you. He wants to reveal himself to you, doesn't he? He's not in the business of hiding himself. He wants to show you that he is your Lord. He is your Savior. He is your true King. He has given his life for you. He wants to reveal these things to you, not hide them. Those who were looking for Jesus found him. If you're looking for Jesus today, you turn your heart to him and you cry out to Jesus, you will find him. But notice there, the last observation, those who weren't looking for him didn't. Pharisees had a cold heart, didn't they? Cold heart. They weren't looking for Jesus. They were only looking for reasons to reject him. They were only seeing him as getting in the way of doing what they wanted to do, living the life of pleasure, sinful pleasure, life of prestige in the temple. Jesus is threatening all these things. Doesn't he realize the situation we got here? These people are bringing money and animals and they're worshiping us. They were the center of attraction, weren't they? Jesus threatened all that. They weren't looking for Jesus, looking for him to disappear. Look, they weren't looking for him and they didn't find him. The same is said today. You're looking for Christ, you will find him. If you're not looking for him, you won't. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the scripture. Lord, we thank you for the observations we make on this glorious day. Day in history, Lord, in which you prepared long before. A day that we know, Lord, in which your Son would ride into Jerusalem, a day appointed. We even know the very date of it. That he would come to Jerusalem to liberate, Lord. Not Israel from the Romans, but Lord, to liberate all man from sin. And Lord, I pray that each person here has been liberated from the sin and death that hangs over their head in this world today. Lord, that they have sought your Son for salvation. Lord, that they've prayed this prayer. Lord, I receive your Son as my Lord and Savior. Lord, that I repent of my sin. I turn from my iniquities. Lord, I'm seeking to know now the ways of your Son, to know who he is for me personally. And Lord, I'm seeking to serve him with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. As much as a person has prayed that right now, Lord, they certainly have found him, and Lord, they have entered in to the gift which he had come forth that day to bring to all people. Lord, he would go from that joyous moment, shouts of Hosanna, to shouts of crucifying. And Lord, he died upon the cross, willing to die that we might live. We praise his name here this morning. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen.